Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political and government news. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne.
State government was put to the test this week with two emergency situations to respond to.
Yes, first that 5.8 earthquake up in the Mineral area, and now this week, later this week, with the approach of Hurricane Irene. In the post-Katrina era, politicians from the President of the United States on down know that catastrophe and the potential for catastrophe is not something with which to trifle. And this is always, these events are always a test, a bottom line test of whether government works, whether it delivers those essential services. And so the McDonald administration is in high gear. The governor is being very high visibility. Was available on a conference call yesterday. Will personally brief reporters this afternoon on the steps that the state will be taking in advance of the storm. You know, this is a remarkable string of events. First an earthquake, then a hurricane. Some have asked, are perhaps locusts next?
Tuesday was primary election day in some localities around the state. To highlight just a couple of the more interesting races for us.
Well, there were three Senate primaries, two up in Northern Virginia, one here in the Richmond area. Actually, this seat runs out towards Lynchburg that proved to be very interesting and may downrange surprise some people. That five-way race in the Goochland to Lynchburg race produced as the Republican nominee, a guy by the name of Tom Garrett, Louisa County prosecutor. It's a Republican district, but the Democrats from the area of the district where most of the votes are, and he has a lot of money. A guy by the name of Dodson, as in pest control. So Democrats and Republicans are looking at that. In Northern Virginia, there's a new Outer Beltway district in which a very conservative Republican won, more conservative than a lot of Republicans had hoped. Dick Black, Democrats think maybe they have a shot there. And then in Arlington, which is as blue as they come, there was a very contentious primary. The Republicans have a somewhat non-threatening, well-financed candidate. Think maybe if the right things happen, and a lot of the right things would need to happen, that they may have a chance. But by and large, this is all part of the bigger picture of the bigger prize, and that is taking back the Senate for the Republicans from the Democrats. The Republicans need three seats to make it all their own. In contrast, very little competition over on the House side. Mm-hmm. Roughly one in four seats have two-party competition.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes to go. A curious or unique situation in a House of Delegates district, including part of Henrico, being vacated by Delegate Bill Janis, who's going to run for Commonwealth's attorney. More on that if we have time. But a four-member committee picked the Republican nominee for that House seat, and he may go on to be unopposed.
Peter Farrell, 28-year-old Peter Farrell, was selected by a four-member Republican committee as the substitute nominee for a House seat that's anchored in Henrico, but reaches all the way up toward Louisa and Spotsylvania. He's, as I said, subbing for Janis, who is going to be the independent Republican candidate for prosecutor. There's this amazing series of events unfolding around the Commonwealth Attorney's race in Henrico, but more about that later. What's interesting here is that the young Mr. Farrell may very well be the delegate for life. He hasn't oppositioned for the fall. He has an interesting pedigree. A young man means he could probably serve essentially for life. He is the son of the Dominion Power executive. And so one suspects that a lot of Republicans saw, you know, time and dollar signs when Mr. Farrell offered his candidacy. And he was selected from a field of about six people. Mr. Farrell also had toyed with the idea of running against Walter Stosch in a Republican primary, but decided against it. You know, is this Henrico County or Bill Daley's Chicago?
Yeah, and he's a Republican in a heavily Republican district, so he can expect little opposition in the
Correct.
Future, right? Okay, let's talk again about Governor Bob McDonald's national ambitions, if any. He had said he was very interested if asked to run for vice president. Why do Virginia governors, at least in recent times, modern times, always seem to be mentioned for the national ticket?
Remember, Virginia and New Jersey are the only states that hold gubernatorial elections in the year immediately following a presidential campaign. So they tend to be viewed as mini referenda on what's going on in Washington. And as a result, the winners in those states tend to be the recipients of a disproportionate amount of press attention, a disproportionate amount of speculation. In McDonald's case, there are a couple other things going on here. Of course, he's taking over the Republican Governors Association. This is the big pack that helps elect Republican governors around the country. He's succeeding a Texan by the name of Perry, who's now a candidate for president. And McDonald's heading back up to New Hampshire, making another trip there in September. But Virginia's strategic significance would also seem to be pushing McDonald's availability. This is a swing state. It tipped to Obama in 2008, but it's shaping up as a battleground, particularly for the president in 12. And so this is adding to the speculation that Bob McDonald, despite questions
Gotta go,
about...
Jeff. Thanks, Jeff.
Oh, see ya.